please wait. Okay, I think it's recording. So hopefully I don't mess it up. We'll see how it goes. So, okay, let's pray, and then we'll get going. I said things are going to be different today. We're going to start something new today. And so I'm glad the room is full because, we're just going to do this anyway. And whether there's a lot of people or not a lot of people, and so we'll just see how it goes. But I think we need to do this. So anyway, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for being good to us. I thank you for loving us. Lord, you give us purpose. Without you, we really are just trying our best, and our best is absolutely nowhere close to where you can take us. And so, Lord, I just thank you for being real in our lives. I thank you for just answered prayers with the different things we've been praying about as a class, and you know, with Mitch's buddy Brendan and Amber, and the baby's doing well, and Amber's at home, and just praise the Lord for that. You're good to us, Lord. And we also mindful for Tucker's cousin Parker and just the things he's going through. I just pray you give him comfort today, and allow this to work out to the furtherance of the gospel with that, Lord, and you know that you would get the glory for it. And we praise you for Chris's uncle and you know the things that we were praying about with him, and you know now that he's making progress, and we just know that you're the ultimate provider. And you know there's a lot of things that weren't said. I know we're going on. There's just a lot of heavy things going on at HBF even right now, and God, we know that happens because we're in a spiritual war, and if there weren't things going on, I would be concerned. And so, Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be a part of it. I pray you bless your word today. I pray that you get the glory for all of it. I just pray for the things that are coming up with the marriage conference and, you know, the Bible project and, you know, the marriage class on Wednesday nights. And there's just a lot of things going on that are really heavy things, Lord, and I just pray that you would convict the hearts of the people to make time for the things that are important, and so and that you would get the glory for it. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so I told you we're going to start something new today, and I don't really know how this is going to go. I have an idea, but we'll see. So nothing major is changing. Okay. When I say intentional gospel outreach, what comes to your mind? I'm going to need a little bit of feedback here. I go? Okay. I go. But what does that mean?
Evangelism.
What's that?
Intentionally outreaching with the gospel.
Intentionally outreaching with the gospel. Okay. At Heartland, a couple years ago, I think it's been a couple years ago because it seems like it was just yesterday, so that means it was a couple years ago because that's how time flies around here. Brian was really pushing these I Go teams, right? And so if you don't know what that is, let me just give you a quick recap. So an IGO team doesn't mean that you're going to go out together as a team, because this is what I thought it was. It doesn't mean that you're going to go out together as a team on Knock on Doors. I thought, well, you're just going to get a team together and you're going to go evangelize. It's not really that at all. You could do that with your team, but that's really not what they're designed to do. An IGO team is basically an accountability group. I never could get my head wrapped around it because I'm the slow kid in class, I'll just tell you. I couldn't get my head wrapped around it until I got in on one. And I didn't get in on one because I volunteered for it. I was basically told I was in one. So I wasn't super excited about it. I'll just be honest with you. I don't know if you know anything about me. I kind of like to do things my way. And so I don't like being told this is how you're going to do something. And so I try not to be rebellious. I don't have a rebellious heart. But anyway, the pastor team started doing this probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. And so basically, here, I'll just give you an example of what this looks like. Once a month, I think I've mentioned to you before, as a pastor team, we have meetings. We have several meetings. And at least once a week, we meet on Sunday nights. Praise the Lord. It actually is profitable. I don't mean that in a bad way. Sometimes I think we might meet a little too much, but that's okay. It's okay. But we meet on Sunday nights, and so each week has its own emphasis, and I'm not trying to get you bored on the details. I'm trying to really make you understand this. Anyway, the fourth week of the month in our meeting, we talk about other things as well, anything that's pertinent, anything that's happening that we need to all know about. But the focus on one of the weeks is IGO, Intentional Gospel Outreach. And all that is each one of us take a few minutes. And I don't want you to get scared because that's not what we're going to do in here. Each one of you just take a few minutes and we talk about what evangelism has looked like in our life over the past month, because we do it once a month. Who intentionally have I had a conversation with? Who have I shared the gospel with? Because especially as a pastor team, we're really busy with ministry. And sometimes evangelism, it kind of happens, but then sometimes it doesn't happen. And it reminds us to make sure we're intentional. And so anyway, what we do is we just take turns and we're just like, hey, I got to have a conversation with this person. Maybe there was a waitress at this place. Maybe it was my neighbor I was having a conversation with. You know, maybe it was somebody through this ministry. And all it is we take just a couple minutes and we're like, hey, this is who I've been evangelizing to. This is their name. Just pray for them, right? And all it is just an accountability, like, hey, I am doing this. I am evangelizing. That's what we're called to do. We're commanded to do it. And so, and here are the names. Can you pray for them? And so, IGO groups should be happening everywhere, right? Just because, and so here's what I want to make sure that we're doing. Because Pathpoint's fairly large. We're probably the biggest class, and that's whatever. I don't care about numbers. I really don't. And so we don't have time to go around the room and be like, Phil, who have you evangelized to? Elizabeth, who have you evangelized to? And go around the room. What I do want to do, though, is it's just who I looked at. Meredith's like, give me the side eye. Anyway, the point is I want to make sure that we make time at least once a month. And so what I've decided is the fourth week of the month, because we don't ever get together on the fifth week because we wouldn't have. And so anyway, the fourth week of every month. I understand there's some weeks that you're here, some weeks that you're not. There's ministry going on. Some weeks there's 8 people in here. Some weeks there's almost 40. It is what it is. We're going to do it no matter what. And it doesn't have to be a long thing, but all I want to do is make sure if there's anybody who wants to just bring up, hey, this is a person I've been evangelizing to. Can you pray for them? And so here's what I'll tell you. I won't record it. It is being recorded today, but Brianna's going to cut this portion of it out. I just want to get this portion of it on recording for anybody who's not in here to know what we're doing moving forward. So I don't have to re-explain this every fourth week that we come around. This is what we're going to do at the beginning of class on the fourth week. It may take 5 minutes. It may take 10 minutes. But if there's somebody that you're just like, man, I'm really burdened for this person. I've been evangelizing to them. And can you just pray? Can we as a class just, you know, as you're praying, just pray for this person? And so it's just an opportunity for us to hold each other accountable and basically lift other people up in prayer if there's somebody that you're just burdened for. And so if there's anybody you want to, again, this doesn't have to be like a weird thing. It's actually a really cool thing because you know that you have more people praying. Okay, so Acts chapter 13, we're going to get going here. Obviously, we're not going to get done, but that's okay. Again, we're just going to do that the fourth week of every month. So, you know, if you're that uncomfortable, I guess don't come on the fourth week or just show up super late. I don't know. This is important, and so I think we got to do it. And so anyway, you don't like, again, we're not going to go around the room and be like, oh, so you haven't shared with anybody? No, I don't care. If you want to share something, you can. If not, we'll just take what we got and we'll move on. So anyway, okay, Acts chapter 13. We've been talking about these transitions in the book of Acts from Old Testament to New Testament, from Jew to Gentile, from Peter to Paul, you know, all of these different things. And we're really have seen a lot of those, right? When Jesus ascended, we went from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You might be like, wait a minute, my Bible says that the Old Testament stopped at the end of Malachi and the New Testament started at Matthew. I know that's what it says, but catch me later and we can talk about why the New Testament doesn't really start until the death of Jesus Christ. I mean, for a will and testament in real life to take effect, like I can write a will and say that when I die, these people are going to get my things. But it doesn't take effect until the death of the testator, right? So the New Testament doesn't start until the death of Christ. And so anyway, we see this transition, and I think a lot of you guys understand that. But anyway, Paul is now, we saw the Apostle Paul, his name is Saul, you know, and it's getting ready to transition completely. But we saw he got saved in Acts chapter 9, and then, you know, we've heard his name a little bit, but basically he's going to take the content of basically the rest of the book of Acts. We'll reference a couple other people, but it's going to be very centered around what Paul was doing. The missionary trips that he took, the people that he talked to, the different things that happened, right? And honestly, the bulk of the rest of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. So obviously God is doing something here. He is transitioning from always wanting to get the gospel to the Jews to now he's transitioning to, well, if the Jews aren't going to accept it, we'll take it to the Gentiles. And that's what the Apostle Paul is, the apostle to the Gentiles. And so that's kind of what we're going to see. You know, Paul wastes no time showing us a pattern of what a New Testament believer's lifestyle should look like. You know, he really doesn't. There's not like this big, long period of, well, he's like trying to figure out life after being lost, and you know, sometimes you see somebody get saved and they just can't figure it out, you know, and you're like, man, if you would just grasp what the Bible says, it would be so much easier. Paul didn't really struggle with that. Now, some of us did. Like, I remember when I got saved, there were some things that God took out of my life immediately, like the day of, and I can't explain it other than God took it, right? I mean, you guys, most of you know our testimony. God healed our marriage in an instant. It wasn't like a gradual, well, I'll start doing this and you start doing that. Like, it went from terrible, worse than terrible, to I guess we're doing this for God now. And it was just like in an instant. Some things God will take instantly. Other things, God allows you to, well, grow in a little bit. Like, I remember getting saved, and not very long after getting saved, like, there were certain things that, like, I had to learn. Oh, you're not supposed to do that, right? And I could give you examples, but probably not wise on the recording. So anyway, I didn't know you weren't supposed to come to church hungover. I didn't know. At least I was here. And so anyway, I just didn't know. Like, there were bigger things in my life at the time that the Lord was working out. And so, but it didn't take me long to realize that doesn't fit here, right? And so you grow, and that's sanctification, okay? So anyway, the Apostle Paul, he doesn't waste any time showing us what a New Testament believer's life should look like. So today we're going to see a pattern, and today and next week, because we're not going to get done. And also, just FYI, and I don't say this because it means you shouldn't come. I want you to come more because of this. But in 2 weeks, Paige and I are going to be out. So I'll be here next week, but then the two following weeks, I'm actually going to be out. We're extending our marriage conference a little bit, just because that's something we do. And so we're going to stay an extra night and just spend some time, the two of us, because I'm telling you, if you don't know, you need to know. You got to make time to invest in your marriage. And, you know, so we just block that time out. So anyway, Brenton is teaching that week. I've asked him. He's praying about it. And so Brenton's teaching that week. And then the following week, I'll be here all week, but we're leaving Saturday morning, and we're going to the discipleship conference in Atlanta. So anyway, just throwing that out there. Tucker's going to teach for me that week. So I say that to say, don't not show up because I'm not going to be here, because I'm nothing special. I actually want you to hear from those guys, because I get the opportunity to teach every week. So sometimes it's like, it's work digging something out. These guys, they've got stuff backlogged that they're just waiting to share. And so it's important that you're here to be there for that. So anyway, I need to make sure I get done with this by at least next week, because we can't drag it out that long. So anyway, what we're going to see is a pattern of personal evangelism. And I didn't just purposely try to tie this in because we were talking about IGO today. It's just a God thing. We're going to see a pattern of personal evangelism. And then when I get back from Atlanta, we're going to see Paul's pattern of personal evangelism, right? And so, but this is just kind of the pattern of a New Testament believer. So let's just kind of, let's jump right in. Acts chapter 13, let's just read the first little bit here. It says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." There's more than this. This is just who's listed. "As they ministered to the Lord, they fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work into whereunto I have called them.'" I can't speak. Let's just stop there. So there's things happening in the church. Ministries happening. The church is going well. We know from past things that we've read, the church at Antioch was doing really well. And so things are happening. Ministries happening. You know, all these things are happening. But then here's what happens. The Holy Ghost says, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I've called them." And we'll talk about why that's important here in a minute. Teaching point number one, if you've got your outline, if you want to follow along, I don't print those because I want you to do them. I think most people like those. If not, throw them in the trash. I don't care. I'm not a note taker. You will hardly ever catch me taking notes. I would rather just focus, but that's just me. Anyway, teaching point number one, a Christian living life without personal evangelism is not walking in the perfect will of God. If you're a Christian and you have no personal evangelism in your life, you have no burden for the people around you, you have no burden for your family, for your friends, for the lost people that you go to work with or to school with or that you're around. If you're a Christian and there's no personal evangelism whatsoever, now I understand, if you're newly saved, I mean, there's a little bit of a break, but it doesn't take long to realize I have something you don't and you should have it. But anyway, if you're a Christian and you're doing the ministry and you're doing all these other things, but there's no evangelism, I'm just telling you, you're not walking in the perfect will of God. I didn't say that you're not walking in the will of God, right? Go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, right? He talks about that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I really believe that there's kind of like, there's three stages of this, three levels of this, right? You can be in the good will of God. That's a good place to be. It doesn't mean that you're in the acceptable will of God. You're just in the good will of God. You know, you're doing some things, but you know there's more things that you could do. There's other things that you could probably cut out and figure out. And so you're in the good will of God, okay. But if you're in the good will of God, you should desire to be in the acceptable will of God. And if you're in the acceptable will of God, let me just tell you, you know the benefits that come from being where you're at and not being in the good will of God. So then, therefore, it should make you desire to be in the perfect will of God. And you know what that means for your life personally. Because we all have things that are just kind of hindering us. Whether it's some sort of besetting sin, whether it's, you know, some sort of thing that we know God's calling us to do and we're just like, nope, not me. You know, in whatever that is, you know what it is in your life. You should desire to be in the perfect will of God. And what I'm telling you is if you're a Christian and you're doing all the church things and you feel like you're even exhausted for the things of God and you're not evangelizing, you're not in the perfect will of God. I don't know any other way to say it. I'm not going to try to mince words and be like, but you know, that's okay. It's not okay. What it really means is that, well, you're not burdened enough. I'm not saying you're not burdened, but you're not burdened enough to do something. It'd be like you see somebody drowning, like they fall off the boat. Like, man, I really wish I could do something. Like, oh, here's a life preserver. It's got a rope on it. I could throw it to them, and all they got to do is grab it. Like, yeah, but it might hurt my shoulder to throw it. And so I really wish I hope they can swim. Like, no, you're burdened, but you're not burdened enough. Like, you got lost people around you, and you're burdened, but if you were burdened enough, you would say something. I don't have any other way to put it. And if that convicts you, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not me. And it just is what it is, okay? Evangelism doesn't have to be some weird, scary encounter with lost people. I remember early on in my Christian walk, I'm like, I don't really like talking to lost people, right? It's just weird to me, and they don't want to hear what I've got to say. So if they want to hear it, they'll ask. And it doesn't have to be like that, right? Let me ask you a question. And hopefully the answer is yes, because if it's not yes, you should probably come catch me after class and we could talk about something completely different. But did God change your life? Like, just think about your life in particular. Cut everybody else out. Did God change your life? Right? Like, I was reading a post from Vinny Nigro. He got some pictures. I sent him some pictures of the Albanian project. And, you know, Albania is right next to Kosovo. And so they're really excited about this Bible. And so he made this post on Facebook. And he was talking about just the Word of God. And, like, this book changed my life. Without this book, I would be dead. I would be in jail. I would be, like, he was just trying to implore people to understand, like, this book is that important. Right? It changed my life. Let me just ask you, did God change your life? Like, I understand some people have a testimony of like, man, I got saved. Like, I was here and now I'm here. Some people, they're like, yeah, I gave my life to Christ. Not a lot changed other than, you know, I'm not as prideful as I was and whatnot. That's okay. The question is, did God change your life? Like, yeah, obviously, God changed your life. If he didn't change your life, you didn't get saved. Just saying. If he did, don't you want others to have their lives changed as well? Don't you want the people that you go to work with, the people that we're in school with, the people that, you know, we're playing volleyball with, the people that we see every single day? Don't you think, like, hey, maybe they should have that opportunity as well? It's a crazy thought. Teaching point number two, keeping the gospel to yourself, it would be like keeping the cure to cancer to yourself. It would be like, for whatever reason, God spiritually downloaded to you, like, hey, we could cure cancer. If we just did this. Like, I don't know that there's anybody in this room. That's how crazy cancer is, that cancer hasn't affected. I don't mean in your maybe personal life, but like, is there anybody in here that's not like, I know somebody at least fairly personally that has battled cancer, has died of cancer, that has had a loved one die of cancer, right? I mean, my sister-in-law, for God's sake, might have like one of the worst kinds of cancer that you can get. And we're just praying that, like, what I'm telling you is, you having the gospel, the good news of Christ, the words that changed your life, you having that and not telling somebody because you're like, yeah, they probably don't want to hear it, would be like you having the cure to cancer and being like, yeah, but, I mean, if they really, somebody will figure it out. Like, that's going to put a lot of burden on me because now everybody's going to be asking me, how did I find out? And there's going to be all this weight that goes with it. And I'm just telling you, like that's the best analogy I can make. We all know somebody that is affected with cancer the same way that we all know somebody who's lost. And the fact that you're not telling them is the same thing. If you had the answer and you were like, but it's just going to cause a lot of trouble for me to do that. Like the news reporters are going to come and they're going to want to know how I found this out. And like that's the same stupid excuses, and I'll just call it what it is, that we make for not sharing the gospel with people. Well, they're not going to want to hear it, or they already told me they don't care. And okay, do it anyway. Do it because God said so. Right? You have to just do it anyway. So, wow, we got through the introduction. Man. Next week, we're going to see 7 points to a pattern of personal evangelism. I don't want to go over because I know we've got ministry things going on and whatnot. This is really important, guys. It's right here out of the text. I'm really, I don't want to say excited. I mean, I am excited, but I know that there's a real weight that goes with evangelizing to people. And I know that there's a real weight that we carry sometimes when we evangelize to people and we think that, I mean, I'm just in this on my own. Nobody really knows. And so I pray that we could bear one another's burdens, that we could be like, you know, Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' arms, you know, and you know, when his arms were up, things were going good in the battle. But, you know, when his arms got tired, he's like, I can't hold them up anymore. You know, you're going to feel like that at volleyball on Saturday, by the way. Like, I can't play anymore. Played all day. I'm just saying, like, that's why we're doing this, so we can hold each other's arms up, because we can't do it alone. And so I'm serious. Pray about these things, because they're burdens. Like, if it was your need, you're, like, really burdened about it. But then with somebody else's need, you're just like, yeah, I hope that works out well. Let me just tell you, they're burdened like you are. So if we bear one another's burdens, I just pray that. So we're going to do that once a month. Come back next week, and we'll go through the 7 points. It's really not. I tried to keep it short because I knew we were going to be going through other stuff, and we got through the introduction. So anyway, we'll get back to it next week. If not, you can catch it online because we got a new fancy recorder, so as long as I hit the right button. So anyway, let's pray. Guys, I really do appreciate the Fast Point class because, I mean, we carry a lot. We know a lot of things, and that's cool. I want people to bring their burdens to me, but I know you guys are serious about what's going on. You know, we're reading as a group. We're doing all these things. I pray that your reading groups are going well, that you're making personal time. If for whatever reason you've fallen off, who cares? Pick back up tomorrow morning, right? Not where you were behind. Just pick back up where we're at and just keep going, okay? It's that important. I promise. You got through Leviticus. We're almost through tomorrow morning, not that I know, but I know because I know where we're at. It's one of my favorite, like, top five stories in the Bible. So we're going to read about tomorrow morning, like, in our daily reading. And you can't tell me that Numbers is boring. Some of it is. Right? But the whole thing isn't. So that's what I'm telling you. Like, just read it. Read it because it's like eating vegetables. It's good for you. Okay? Bear each other's burdens. I really do appreciate you guys. This is real stuff. And I really believe we're in a spiritual battle. And I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. So let's do it together. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. I thank you for your word. I just pray that you'd bless it, even though we didn't get super deep into it today. And Lord, I know that you can bless anything. So I pray that there's conviction in our lives about the people we need to get the gospel to. I pray that we as a class would hold each other's arms just praying that people would get saved. And not because we want the church to be big, not because we want the Passpoint class to be big, because I want the kingdom of God to be big. I want the kingdom of God to be exactly how you desire it to be, Lord, and I want to just be obedient to you in my part of that. So, Lord, I love you. I thank you. I pray you be with Pastor Brian today. I know he's preaching about a subject that's super heavy as well, and it's super just timely in the culture we live in. So I pray that we wouldn't get lost in the details as sometimes we do, but we would pay attention because what Brian's preaching about today, it's right on time, and we need to know what we think we know because there's people out there, there's talking heads in the world that want to tell you, oh, it's not real and this, that, or the other. And no, I'm telling you, the Bible is real. And so I pray that you just give him the words to speak this morning that it would be clear and concise and that we would just understand why we believe what we believe. I pray for your word. I pray for your church. In Christ's name, amen.